Hi, and welcome to Truth Be Told, hosted by Brandy Kiley, a podcast for the modern-day woman dishing on life, love, and career. Today, we have a special guest on the show, Dominique Broadway. Dominique, say hello.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for having me.
You're so welcome. So me and Dominique, y'all, have been trying to get in contact with each other. I reached out to her. She responded back. Then something happened. We had technical difficulties. So this has been some weeks in the making. I'm so happy that I finally have her on the show. Dominique Broadway is a millennial finance expert, and I'm going to let Dominique go ahead and just tell you who she is and what she does.
Yeah, so essentially I'm an award-winning financial planner. I work with millennials, entrepreneurs, and creatives, helping them to understand their finances so they can demystify them and bring all their dreams to reality. So essentially, I still do some financial planning, but now I do a lot of public speaking and financial education, content creation, and a lot of brand work. And so, this is taking a different angle, but yeah, that's essentially what I'm doing now.
I love it. When you say demystify, what do you mean by that? I know that a lot of people kind of feel like, oh my goodness, if I'm in debt, I'm going to forever stay in debt. Student loans, like, what do you mean by demystify?
Yeah, so when I think of demystify, when I came up with the name of my company, it was literally, I started it because I wanted to literally demystify finances for people. And when I looked up the word demystify, it was kind of something along the lines of kind of the clearing of fog, or just the clearing of something, the understanding of something, or something being broken down, something complicated being broken down to something simple. And after, my background, I was actually a financial planner or financial advisor and stockbroker for high net worth clients. So I worked with clients that had $10, $20 million in investable assets, meaning that's how much they had in their investment accounts that we were managing for them or investing for them. And so when I thought about demystifying, I just realized that there were so many things that I knew about personal finance just from my family and just from my own learning. And I realized that most people had no clue about these things. So I decided that I wanted to really demystify personal finance. So it's not something that we're so uptight about, but something that we realize we can use money as a tool to live the life that we desire.
I love that. What is it? Why is what you do so important to the people that you are educating just about personal finances in general?
I think it's important because we need money for everything, right? I mean, people kind of Oh, money isn't anything. Actually, no, that's a lie. It is. Like, you call your rent company or your mortgage provider and be like, I'm not paying you because money isn't everything, and you're going to be on the street, right? And so money is what makes our world go around, if we want to accept it or not. And if you have a clear understanding of your money, you literally can live the life that you want to live. And a lot of people just don't have that understanding whatsoever. And so they're passing down this generational poverty. They are stressing on a day-to-day basis. They're really not even able to live life, like enjoy life, honestly, because of their finances. So that's why I think it's very important so that we can start creating more generational wealth, and also to start creating a life that is full of like happiness and abundance and things of that nature.
I definitely agree. My brother is actually studying to be a financial advisor / accountant, and he's really been helping me a lot. The biggest thing that I learned from him, he's younger than me, by the way, he's like 19. He's amazing. But the biggest thing I learned is, like, if you're not on top of your finances, like literally on top of them, knowing what's coming in and what's coming out, you're not even in the game. So you're just spinning your wheels. So for someone who doesn't even know where to start in terms of student loans or credit cards or any other type of outstanding debt, in your professional opinion, like, where do they even start? If they're just at ground zero, bottom level, where do they start?
I mean, I think, just like you said, being aware of your finances, that's the first step. Most people turn a complete blind eye to their finances. Like they say, ignorance is bliss. And a lot of people are super ignorant about their own financial situation because they just don't even want to know what's going on. people don't check their bank accounts and things of that nature. So I think the first thing you want to do is what I like to call knowing your two magic numbers, and that's basically knowing how much money you make, and you'd be surprised, most people do not know, and also how much money, how much it costs to run your life every single month. So those are like what I consider your two magic numbers. And obviously the second one, which is how much it costs to run your life, needs to be less than how much you're bringing in. So you need to know how much money you're making every 2 weeks or whatever. Whenever you get paid, you should know that that number. You should know if it's when you do get paid, if it's short a penny or if it's a penny over or whatever, you need to be completely aware of how much you're making. And then the other one, like I said, is knowing how much it costs to run your life every single month. And so a lot of people, just they don't know what it takes and how much it actually costs. So what they're doing is, you know, they have this money coming in and they're just spending, and then they have nothing to show for it. So the first thing you need to do is really, you know, sit down, like I said, find out those two magic numbers, how much you're making and how much it costs to run your life. But then also sit down and seeing how much, you know, how much debt you have, how much savings you have, just like do a complete financial inventory. Because you can't create a plan or a strategy to get somewhere if you don't really know where your starting point is.
I love that. So for those of you that are listening, you need to first be aware of your finances. How much do you make? How much does it cost to run your life on a monthly basis? And, you know, just taking a whole inventory of everything that's going out, how much debt you have, and kind of starting there. So looking at it, not throwing the bills away, not, you know, ignoring your bank account, but actually, you know, sitting down with yourself and your finances. And guess what? I did it. You know, I've done it before. I'm working through that process now. And like you will be okay. You will not die. You will survive. That's why I reached out to you, because I know that there are other people who feel like, oh my goodness, you know, for some reason we take this finance thing and we start to feel like, you know, we take it personal and we put all these personal things towards money and how we feel, and money validates us and all of these other things. But once you can separate yourself from money and actually step outside of the box and all of the emotions that you put into it and just look at it objectively, that's when you can really start to, you know, start gaining some traction in terms of, you know, creating a plan and figuring out how you're going to get where you want to be financially. Yes, so I want to know if you agree with this, Dominique, and if you don't, then explain why. Do you agree that the sooner you start understanding the concept of saving and investing, the better? Like, should we be teaching this at a very young age, or when do you think this concept should be introduced to young people?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that concept needs to be introduced at an extremely young age. I mean, that's why so many people are, quote unquote, behind. And when I say behind, I'm not saying like behind on just money in general, but just behind on like have such a negative connotation with like their relationship with money. So I know for me, like my mom was, she was an accountant. She didn't go to college, but she ended up becoming an accountant. Now she's a CFO. And she was always an entrepreneur, as well as my father and even my stepfather, and just having those conversations even with my grandparents about money, and just everyone, my whole family was very just transparent about money, and having those conversations had a huge impact on me, where, you know, I was able to start investing when I was in high school, or at least, you know, well, learning how to invest, because my as smart as my parents were about money, they still didn't really know anything about investing. So I was able to just kind of take the basic knowledge that they're telling me, which is something as simple as just don't spend more than what you make and you'll be fine. You know what I mean? That's literally all it takes to build wealth. And I was able, I, you know, bought my first house at 22 before I graduated college, and all those different things that I realized that, you know, the knowledge and understanding that I had, my friends had no clue. And so even when I sold it a few months ago, actually, I just sold my condo, you know, the amount of money I was able to walk away with is just like, you know, it's like, what? You know what I mean? Literally, my friends who've been renting for, you know, for the past 10 years, I've had the condo for 10 years, they have nothing to show for it other than they've had a roof over their head. But I had a roof over my head, and I'm walking away with equity, right? And so it's just those little things that are going to put you in a different financial situation. So those small decisions that you're making, the earlier you can start making those positive things, the easier it will be for you to build wealth. but also the easier it will be for you to start building wealth within your family, within your community, and really changing that mindset and that conversation about money, where when I think about money, it's not like, oh, I got to pay bills, I got to do this, I got to do that. I haven't had those thoughts in a while, and I've went broke before, so I get it. But now it's like, you know, I don't really have to think about my bills because, you know, the money's coming mm-hmm. in and mm-hmm. the bills mm-hmm. are being paid. And it's a different conversation of an investing and a wealth conversation and a growing of the money or using the money to allow me to live life on my own terms, right? And I think we all deserve to be at that point where we're not thinking about every single dollar or robbing Peter to pay Paul, or we all deserve to be there. And so that's why I think, you know, the earlier you can start, the better you or your kids or whoever you care about has a better chance of living that life where they're not constantly stressed about money.
I love it. And I like the fact that you learned a lot from your family, and a lot mm-hmm. of education starts at home, including financial education. And so, yeah. You know, you were saying that your mom was an accountant, your father, stepfather, they were kind of in the entrepreneurial realm. And so I mm-hmm. think that just being an entrepreneur in general, I know we talked about this while we were not recording, but, mm-hmm. you know, there's this whole girl boss movement that's empowering women to, you know, be their own boss and to start creating brands and profitable businesses, and I'm all here for that. But it definitely depends on where you are starting from in terms of just your yeah. education. But I think everyone should be in that mindset. Even if you have a job, even if you're working a 9-to-5, the entrepreneurial mindset is one of self-empowerment and empowering yourself and self-education. And so I think that's why it's really, really important. I want to go ahead and talk about just what you needed to learn in order to grow into who you are today. You kind of gave us a brief overview of, mm-hmm. you know, who you are and what you do. But in terms of, you said, living life on my terms, what exactly are those terms first? And then what did you need to learn in order to grow into who you are today?
Yeah, so I think when I say living life on my terms, it's, to me, I think a lot about lifestyle design, right? And so mm-hmm. One of the things I always thought about was how do I want my day-to-day life to look like, right? And I started out, you know, as this financial planner and stock broker, and that pretty much ties you to a desk, an office, all day, every day, right? And I realized very early on that's not how I want to live my life. And so for me, I had to take a step back and say, okay, I'm creating this company, or, you know, this is life, basically. Even before I created the company, it's like, this is life. I get one, and I cannot spend 40 hours a week sitting in this office. I just can't. It ain't going to work for me, right? So I was like, I need to create something that's going to provide me the flexibility, because I am one of those people who don't believe in working tons and tons of hours. I don't. I try to work smarter, not harder. And so that was something that was important to me. I don't think we're here just to work and die. And that's what a lot of people are doing. And so for me, living life on my own terms meant I wanted flexibility to travel when, where I wanted to, when I wanted to. And so for me, that may mean, I know like last year I spent a couple weeks in Morocco, and then I went down to Peru and spent 2.5 weeks. And while I was there, I was working and traveling, and that's what I wanted my life to look like. And so even now, I actually just got a new office space at a WeWork here. But I didn't get the office space just because I want to sit there all day every day. I got it because I like to be in that community when I am home. I like to have a place to go to that's not just sitting on my couch and working and things like that. So, mm-hmm. you know, that meant a lot to me. And I think a lot, you have to be very confident to design your own lifestyle. And a lot of people they're not confident enough. They don't even believe in themselves enough to know that you really can create the life that you desire on your own terms, right? So I even know, like, I don't want a company with hundreds and hundreds of employees. I don't think that's a goal of mine, because that's not a lifestyle mm-hmm. that I desire to live. And so you have to think about that. Like, I'm fine with creating a company that may grow to 20 employees or something of that nature. We're probably all going to be remote, right? But I don't want this huge multi-million-dollar corporation. That's not what I need. That's not what I need. You can still make millions and not have to, you know, take on all that responsibility. So when I think about my business and my life as an entrepreneur, I think about all those different types of things. When, you know, also, like I said, when I think about living life on my own terms.
Okay, I got it. So lifestyle design and being confident enough to believe in yourself that you can actually do it, that this is something that you are in control of, that, you know, if you don't like where you are, then you can change it financially, relationship-wise, you can change it. You really can change it. What are some things, give me maybe like three or four things that you needed to learn to grow into the businesswoman and the person that you are today?
I think I had to learn a lot about, being okay with failing, right? I think that was major for me because, you know, us millennials, we grow up and, you know, we get awards for everything. Like, oh, you brushed your teeth, you get an award. Like, you know, we literally get awards for everything. And it's not like that in the real world. And so for me, it was, you know, although I have won tons of awards, which still shock me sometimes, but it's like, you know, being okay with failing, and also being okay with life not happening on your timeline. You know, they say you make plans and God laughs. He laughed a lot over the past 4 years, like, you know what I mean? And so to the point where I was just like, okay, so everything I plan is not going to work. And so I think that was something that was major for me, understanding that things aren't going to happen when you want them to happen. They happen when they're supposed to happen. And that was a very, very hard lesson. So I think that's probably another one of the biggest things. Also, I think just accepting what I'm good at and what I'm not good at is something that's really important as an entrepreneur, because there's a lot of things that we are good at, but there's also a lot of things I'm not good at. So even like, yes, I have a financial company, but I don't manage the finances for my company. Like, I literally just got off the phone, you know, with my accountant before I talked to you. And so it's like things like that where I can outsource and say, okay, I'm not good at this, and I've accepted the fact that I'm not good at this. I need someone else to do this. So I think that's big too. But I think another thing I had to learn was being okay with not working all the time. So even though I don't like working all the time, I started this company that I actually enjoy. So I never felt like I was working all the time. It was something I had to do, and I had to like go to therapy for this, amongst other things. Is to learn how to do nothing. Like, I am learning how to do nothing. It's something I'm learning how to do for 2018, because I'm the kind of person where if I'm watching, like, I don't have cable. I haven't had cable in probably 3 years, or not 3 years. If I want to watch a show, if I want to watch Empire, Scandal, Shameless, whatever, I need to be on the elliptical. Or if I'm, you know, I want to watch a show, I can't just sit there. Like, I have to be doing something productive, because if not, I'm just being lazy and watching TV, right? And this is this whole, like, thing I've built up in my head, and I have to be more comfortable with doing nothing. So those are just some of the things that I had to learn, like being okay with relaxing and things like that. But, I mean, they're all things you learn over time, but those are just some of the major things that I've encountered.
Okay. And I like that, because I feel like everyone's personal journey is different, and some of the things that you may need to learn, other people can relate to, and it helps other people. I always bring in that personal growth piece, because it helps other people to not feel so bad about themselves when they're on their own personal journey. Everybody's journey is different, and everyone that I interview, including myself, and not even people that come on the show, but you can just think of people that you talk to and have conversations with, everyone's journey is going to be different. It is not going to be spelled out the same way as anyone else, but there are some principles, there are some foundational principles that you can take, that you can say, okay, I remember when I heard this podcast with Dominique Fryway and she talked about this, like, that's what I want to happen, you know, with the show and the whole platform of Truth Be Told, for people to be able to come back to these episodes when they're, you know, going through their own personal journey and be able to pick out pieces and say, oh, yeah, I remember when Dominique said this, and to kind of help them through whatever it is that they may be going through at the time. So thank you for sharing that, because a lot of people are not comfortable with authenticity or transparency, and I like to make sure that I'm sourcing the right type of people for this show. So thank you so much for sharing that. Now, the last thing that we talk about is love and relationships. Are you currently dating? How do you feel like, you know, you can continue to do everything that you're doing with your business? Have you thought about that? Is that something that you're, you know, you want to do in the future, later on down the road? What's going on with that?
Yeah. So it's so funny. I feel like people are always like, are you dating? Because, like, I don't post about if I'm dating at all. People are like, do you have a boyfriend? Like, what are you doing? No, I am dating. And so I've, one thing I'm really good at, guys, is dating. I love dating. and I do. I'm a really good dater, where I've actually been told, my friends are like, you need to, like, start a blog or just something on dating, because you literally mastered dating. I have. But now I'm actually in a relationship, so I'm not dating anymore. But I still give advice to my friends. But no, I'm in a relationship. I actually live with my significant other. And, you know, we've been living together since August. And so I am in a relationship, but like I said, no one really knows. And it's great. It's nice to have someone to share life with. I've never been this deep into a relationship where I'm, like, living with my significant other, all this good stuff. But yeah, it's good. I mean, I think the biggest thing with relationships, and, you know, when, as an entrepreneur and someone who has a very non-traditional, I have a very non-traditional career, a very non-traditional lifestyle, where, you know, I travel a lot. I know the first few months we lived together, I was like here for 3-4 days and then like gone for 8 days, and you know what I mean? And then like going back and forth to Maryland, DC area to sell my condo. Like I was probably gone almost 70% of every month. And just being with someone who understands your relationship, understands your lifestyle is very important. So that has been the biggest thing. Well, I've dated guys before who are just like, I want someone who's going to be home every day at 5:30 to make dinner. And it ain't going to be me. It's not. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to be a happy hour anyway. But, you know, it's like, you know, you have to find someone who works for you. So I think that was, you know, something that was important to me, finding someone that was very understanding.
I like that. And do you think that you had a period of time where, you know, with your awesomeness at dating, that you actually sat down and was like, okay, this is what I need based on my lifestyle and the things that I have going on? Did you actually do that? Was it something that you wrote out or actually, you know, specifically thought about and strategized about?
Yeah, actually, somebody was like, oh, you should write a list of, like, the top, like, 4 things or something like that, or 5 things that you want in a mate. And I wrote those out probably a year and a half ago. And then when I met my boyfriend, it was interesting. I think he pretty much met about all of those. Actually, we're going to have to look back on it. But I was dating guys that had certain things, but not everything. Some of them had everything, but it just wasn't, you know, it was like, yeah, you're cool and all, but ain't nothing to write home about. And so I did take that time to figure out, like, what is it I want? Like, what are my quote-unquote deal breakers and things like that as well.
Okay, good. Because I know a lot of women that are out there and they're in this entrepreneurial space and they're doing their own thing. And, you know, they're, like you said, it can be a blessing to have someone to share your life with and to kind of bounce off ideas from, or just, you know, experience life together in total with someone. But I think that it's really important that you know what you want, and not necessarily physical attributes, but like actual characteristics that you need in terms of support, like, and to take inventory. I think I mentioned this in another episode, maybe like the first or second episode, but like to really take inventory in terms of what it is that you need. So for you to say that you've done that, and then, you know, don't settle, you know, if it's not working, it's not working. Don't force it like a ponytail. Like, you know, just if it's not working, don't settle. And still have fun. And it seemed like from the way that you were talking about dating, and I really want to capture that, like, joy and fun, that's how it should be, you know, when you're single. It shouldn't be a stress. No, it should be fun. I had fun when I was dating.
It is.
I've been in a relationship for 3 years, but, like, it was fun.
It is fun. And I think that's what, like, I was talking to one of my friends at Bay, and she's like, it's so much work. I'm like, you're making it work. And the problem with, you know, this ain't no, you know, dating topic, but I think the problem with people in dating is that they date, especially women as they get older. I mean, I'm gonna be 33 in what, 2 weeks or so. And so people, especially my friends who like are 29 and up, they're just like, I'm dating to get married and to get married in 6 months. And it's like, that's too intense. So every person that they meet, they're like, I think he's the one. I think he's the one. I'm like, but the guy last week was the one, right? And I've never been that way. And that's like, you really mastered this. And I'm like, no, I'm dating for fun to get to know people. Mm-hmm. And and that's it. I'm not trying to make every single guy that takes me out to dinner or Del Frisco's or whatever my husband. That's not the goal. I'm going and I'm meeting people, and I'm not throwing all of my emotions into one person until I found that person. Then when I actually did meet my significant other now, you know, we met at a Black Enterprise Entrepreneur Conference, like, and it was good because we had a mutual interest and things like that, and it just worked. But I think being open is something that's important too. A lot of people aren't open to dating. Like, they, I don't know, it's weird, but you do have to be open. Yeah.
You have to be open to the possibilities. Like, I feel like when you're saying be open, it kind of means like just be open to how this is going to come to you. It may not come in the way that you think it's going to come in your head. And this isn't even, not even saying like it has to be a, you know, a guy who you're not attracted to. Like, just be open to how it's going to come. For instance, I don't think I've ever talked about this. Dominique, you're good. But, okay, so my significant other, I don't know if you guys know, but, like, he is on the radio, and he does a lot, and he is a comedian, and he is, like, just, he does the most. And so when I met him, I was like, okay, and he's younger than me. Okay, so that's what I mean by being open to how it comes to you, because, one, I've never dated anybody younger than me. I've always played around, like, oh, you're my little play husband, but, like, I was never serious about guys that were younger than me. And then, you know, he's on the radio, and then he kind of does like club appearances, or he might be in the club sometimes, and like old me, before I understood this concept of like being open, old me would have shut it down, like, you're younger than me, you're in the club, do that. And when I had made the decision, the conscious decision to be open, I was like, okay, he's cool. You guys have a great time. Like, there's no reason for you to shut this down. If you shut this down because he's in the club or he's on the radio,
it's all on you.
Yeah, that's on you. And so I continuously have stayed open. Girl, I'm living in Chicago now. And it's just like, you know, continuing to stay open to the universe and the blessings that it's giving me. And not even just in my relationship, but in general, I think it's really, really important. And so when you're saying that, I'm like, that's what it means to me to be open, is to just like, you know, not be so hard on yourself about being so strict about, oh, well, it's this and it's that. Like, no, it's okay. Like, it's when it comes to you, but it may not come to you in the way that you think it should come. And, like, this has been the best relationship of my life. So I think that, I think that whoever is listening to this episode, you know, please take away that important point as well in terms of being open.
Yeah,
I think
that's key.
Oh, go ahead.
I think that's key.
It definitely is key. Like, I don't think I have anything else to say about that. Like, if you can get that point, if you can remain open in terms of relationship and career and finances and everything that you want to, you know, attract or accomplish, like, it will come to you as long as you put in the work. So, I don't know. Is there anything else that you want to mention, Dominique? I know that, do you do any type of mentoring, or when do you have another speaking engagement where someone can find you? Just tell us what you have going on for 2018.
Yeah, we have a lot of things planned. We're launching a bunch of new, like, services and events and all these just amazing things. But definitely, you know, make sure you go to the website, DominiqueBrawley.com, and, you know, get on the email list, or I spend most of my time on Instagram, so definitely follow me at Dominique Brawley. We also have a Facebook group called Millennial Wealth Builders. We're about to start doing a bunch of just free classes and things like that. So just go to Facebook and search Millennial Wealth Builders, and that will pop up. But I'm pretty easy to find.
Okay, so you heard that. Facebook at Millennial Wealth Builders. It's a group. Is it open, or do you have to, like, get access to the group?
Yeah, you have to get access. Like, you just have to, what do you call it? I don't know, what do they call it when you,
I can't remember what you call it, but request.
We let everyone in unless they're spammy, yeah.
Okay. If you don't know where to start with your finances and you're looking for someone who looks like you, who is, you know, a millennial and who knows what she's talking about and knows what she's doing, then make sure that you go to, what was the group again?
Millennial Wealth Builders.
Millennial Wealth Builders on Facebook, and you can also find her on Instagram at Dominique Broadway, or just go to her website, DominiqueBroadway.com. Be sure that if you want to keep up with Dominique, that you get on her email list, and I'm pretty sure that she will tell you everything that she has going on through that as well. Thank you so much, Dominique. I appreciate your time and your energy. Oh, I'm doing this new thing for 2018. Give everyone, sum it up. I am Dominique Broadway, and I live my best life by what?
Let's see. I'm Dominique Broadway, and I live my best life by controlling every day and living life on my own terms.
All right. Thank you so much, Dominique Broadway. Thank you guys for listening, and I will see you.
Thank you.